The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter Number 45, Text Number 38, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 29th, 2012, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Tata iti atta aruhya Maha Rato Ratam Prabhasam Asadya Duranta Vikramo Velam Upavrajya Nishidatu Chanam Sindhu Viditva Arhanam Aharat Tayo Tate Yatur Tate Yataruha Maharatoratang Prabhasama Sajadaranta Vikramo Velam upavraja nishidatu chanam Sindhur viditvarhanam aharatayo Ta tet yataruhya maharataratang Prabhasama Sanja Duranta Vikramo Velam Upavraja Nishidatu Chanam Sindhur Viditvarhanam Arharatayo Tata So be it. Iti, saying this, atta, then, aruhya, mounting, maharato, the two great charioteers, ratam, a chariot, prabhasam, prabhasatirtha, asajya, reaching Duranta limitless Vikramo whose prowess Velam up to the shore Upavraja walking Nishidatu they sat down Chanam for a moment Sindhu, the presiding deity of the ocean, Viditva, recognizing Arhanam, respectful offering, Aharat, brought Tayo for them. Translation and purport by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. So be it, replied those two great charioteers of limited might, and they at once mounted their chariot and set off for Prabhas. When they reached that place, they walked up to the shore and sat down. In a moment, the deity of the ocean, recognizing them to be the Supreme Lords, appeared them, approached them with offerings of tribute. Purport. Western scholars sometimes think that references in ancient books of wisdom to the deity of the ocean, the deity of the sun, and so on reveal a primitive mythical way of thinking. They sometimes say that primitive men think that the ocean is a god, or the sun and moon are gods. In fact, references such as the word Sindhu in this verse, meaning the ocean, indicate the person who governs that aspect of physical nature. We can give several modern examples. In the United Nations, we may say the United States votes yes, the Soviet Union votes no. We hardly mean that the physical countries or the buildings in them have voted. We mean that a particular person representing that political and geographical entity has voted. Yet the newspaper will simply say the United States voted, decided, etc., and everyone knows what that means. Similarly, in business, we may say a large conglomerate has swallowed up a smaller firm. We hardly mean that the buildings, office equipment, and the like have physically swallowed another building full of workers and office equipment. We mean that the empowered authorities have engaged in a particular act on behalf of their respective corporate entities. Unfortunately, modern scholars are eager to confirm their pet theories that ancient spiritual wisdom is primitive, mythic, and largely supplanted by more modern ways of thinking, exemplified by their own eloquent remarks. However, much in modern scholarship must be rethought in the light of Krishna consciousness. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha So, it is a fact that the modern-day scholars have no access to actually understanding the beautiful Vedic wisdom. They speculate that there could not be a god of the ocean. Why? Because everybody knows there is no god of the ocean. Therefore, there is no god of the ocean. You see? They have no proof there's no god of the ocean. But they assume that there's no god of the ocean because they haven't seen the god of the ocean. How many people have been to Mauritius? So they think Mauritius is a myth? Most people on this planet have not been to Mauritius. So does that mean Mauritius doesn't exist? It's just some myth? You see? What you have not personally experienced, you know by hearing. Well, we hear. Well, there's a place called Mauritius. You see? By hearing, one knows there's a place called Mauritius, even though he has not been there. So in the same way, by hearing from authorities, there's a god of the ocean. We can understand there's a god of the ocean. But being very proud and puffed up, proud of their intellect, so-called intellect, they say, because we have not seen the god of the ocean, therefore the god of the ocean does not exist. This reminds us of that professor. You know that professor with a big PhD degree, Dr. Frog. You've heard of Dr. Frog? Yeah. He was very proud. His classroom where he taught was his well, you see. And the little frogs, they would come and take lessons from Dr. Frog. And Dr. Frog, he would expound that my well is the biggest body of water in the whole world. You understand, little frogs? Dr. Frog's well is the biggest body of water in the whole world. And they would say, yes, Dr. Frog. We understand from you that your body of water is the biggest body of water in the whole world. So he said, yes, you are all very good students, you see. But little Freddy, one of the frogs, one day he went hopping. He felt like exploring a little bit, so he went out hopping one day. He hop, 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 hop. And he heard, someone said, if you hop a little further, you'll go to what's called the Atlantic Ocean. It's a huge body of water, bigger than any well. So little Freddy thought he would check it out. He started hopping, 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 hopping. And finally he arrived at the shore of the Atlantic Ocean. And he saw huge ships, a huge body of water that obviously was hundreds, thousands, and millions of times bigger than Dr. Frog's well, you see. So he was so excited. Well, I'm going to give the good news to Dr. Frog. I have made a great scientific discovery. There's a body of water much bigger than Dr. Frog's well. I mean, this is the greatest breakthrough in modern education. I'm going to go hopping back to Dr. Frog's well and give him the good news. So he said, Dr. Frog, Dr. Frog, I have some wonderful news for you. There's a body of water much bigger than your well. So what did Dr. Frog say? A body of water bigger than my well? That is not possible. My well is the biggest body of water in the whole world. No, Dr. Frog. It's much bigger than your well. It's much bigger. Much bigger than my well. That cannot be possible. No, Dr. Frog. There is a body of water much bigger than your well. Well, how much bigger is it? And he puffed up his, you know, the pogs can make their chests come out, you know. Is it this much bigger than my well? No, Dr. Frog. It's much bigger than that. Well, is it this much bigger than my well? No, Dr. Frog. It's much, much, much bigger than that. And he said, well, is it this much bigger? He burst and died, you see. So these modern-day scholars, PhDs, Nobel laureates, you see, they're like that foolish Dr. Frog, you see. They have no conception, you see. They say we are open-minded intellectuals. We don't take anything blindly, but they blindly assume there is no out of the ocean. That's their blind faith, assumption. Can they prove there's no God of the ocean? No, they cannot. But they assume. This word assume, A-S-S-U-M-E. Ass-U-Me. Assume. You see, if you assume, you make an ass out of you and me. You see? So they assume that there's no sun god. They assume there's no supreme god. They say the Vedas are mythology. But they can't prove that. That is their assumption. That is simply their speculation. Therefore, we kick in the face with boot of these professors. Actually, Prabhupada said that. It was edited out. You know that book, Life Comes from Life? Yes. But Prabhupada, in the book it said, the more we philosophically defeat Darwin, the more we make advancement. But actually, that was completely edited out. If you look at the original transcript, Prabhupada said, the more we kick Darwin in the face, we make spiritual advancement. That's what Prabhupada actually said. I like that one better than the edited version. So it's a fact, the more we can kick these rascal philosophers, scientists, in the face, philosophically, not physically with your foot, but, you know, philosophically defeat them. That is our advancement in Krishna consciousness. The more you can defeat atheism, the more you advance in Krishna consciousness. So every devotee should be expert at defeating atheistic arguments, you see. Every devotee should be able to tear an atheist to shreds philosophically, completely tear him to shreds. Prabhupada wanted us to become very strong preachers. He said, he told us about this word, Digvijay. You know the meaning, Digvijay? Digvijay means who conquers in all directions, you see. It's like that Keshava Kashmiri, you know that during Chaitanya Lila, he was called Digvijay Pandit because he was conquering everywhere. Nowadays, you see, they have the Olympics, who's the fastest runner. Now the contests are physical, but in those days it was intellectual contests. That was the big contest. You know, here it's soccer, football, you know, baseball. That's the big contest now. But during the days of Gauranga in India, the big contest was who is the greatest scholar. You see, that was the big contest. Who was the biggest scholar? So this Digvijay Pandit, Keshava Kashmiri, he was called Digvijay Pandit because he was conquering everyone until he met his match when he met Nimai Pandit. That finished him off, you see. But anyway, this Digvijay means one who conquers in all directions. So Prabhupada told us, he said that you devotees, you should go town to town, village to village, city to city, and make Digvijay. That there is God, I can prove there is God. Who are you who say there is no God? Come on. In this way, Prabhupada taught us to preach Krishna consciousness very strongly and very powerfully. You see. Prabhupada didn't want dull disciples, sit down, dull-headed disciples, you see. He wanted disciples heroic disciples who could go forward and defeat the atheism, the impersonalism, the hedonism, the immorality, the cow-killing, the illicit sex, who could defeat these things and establish Vaishnava culture in every corner of the world. And that's what Prabhupada wants, you see. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to become empowered to preach? Well, we have to study the books. We have to read Prabhupada's books. We have to chant very nicely, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Strictly avoid illicit sex, meat-eating, intoxication, and gambling. Now they're trying to redefine illicit sex, that it means no sex out of marriage, but that's not what Prabhupada taught us. I don't know where they've gotten this idea that illicit sex means no sex out of marriage. That is not what Prabhupada taught us. No illicit sex means sex is only for procreation. That's it. Non-procreational sex is illicit sex. Not just sex outside of marriage is illicit sex. Any sex which is not for procreation is illicit. And procreation means once in a month, after the woman's menstrual cycle, after chanting 50 rounds of japa. The husband and wife both chant 50 rounds of japa. And that is called licit sex, you see. And actually also Prabhupada says one takes the blessings of one's spiritual master. The Guru Maharaj, we would like to have a child. You give us your blessings so we can try to have child. That's how Prabhupada actually did. That's the actual definition of proper sex life. You get permission of the spiritual master. You chant 50 rounds after the woman's menstrual cycle once in a month. Husband and wife both chant 50 rounds, and then they have sex life for producing a child. That sex life is Krishna. Balang balabachang chahang kama raga vivarjitam dharma virudo bhuteshu kamosmi bharatarshabha. Krishna says, I am the strength of the strong, devoid of passion, desire. I am that sex life which is not contrary to religious principles. So, if one follows this principle of sex life, then that's Krishna himself manifesting in the sex, as sex. But any other sex besides that is illicit. And if we have illicit sex, either as brahmacharis or grihasthas or whatever we may be, if we have illicit sex, it spoils our Krishna consciousness. It spoils it. It spoils this movement. So one should know how to become powerful and strong in Krishna consciousness. That strength comes from brahmachari. They become detached from sex pleasure. Prabhupada gives us the example of Gandhiji, you see. He, in his 30s, even though he's a married man, he became strictly celibate. Strict celibacy. No sex life, you see. Prabhupada said because he practiced brahmachari, even as a married man, he became so determined that he was able to drive the British out of India, you see. One man. with not even firing one rifle, you see. He was able to drive the British out of India simply because he gave up sex pleasure, you see. So this sex pleasure is meant to be given up. But for those who cannot give up immediately, they can become married, they can have Krishna conscious children, according to the religious principles, not whimsically, according to lusty desires, according to religious principles. And that is the meaning of no illicit sex, you see. So we can follow these principles, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. We can chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, faithfully. Every day, at least 16 rounds, you see. What will be the result? We'll become very, very fixed in Krishna consciousness. We'll become empowered representatives of the previous acharyas, you see. We are meant to become empowered representatives. That the previous acharyas' potency, their shakti, can act through us. We are meant to be empowered creatures, you see. We are meant to live for the benefit of all living entities. Not that I simply just have my own little comfortable arrangement and never mind the suffering humanity. That's called Kanishta Adhikari. He makes his own little arrangement for his comforts and he doesn't think about the suffering humanity. It's called a Kanishta Adhikari. He's a materialistic devotee. We are meant to at least come to the Madhyam Adhikari platform. And that means compassion upon for the suffering souls of this world. That I must do something. I must distribute these books of Srila Prabhupada. I must go on Harinam. I must tell people about Krishna, you see. I have to do something to help the people come out of the sleep of illusion. I must do something, you see. That's called a Madhyam Adhikari. One who Prabhupada actually explains in his books that the Majjhima, the Uttama, who is the topmost pure devotee, and the Majjhima, who is the preacher, solidly situated in the mood of preaching, you see, neither of them can fall down from Krishna consciousness. So actually only the Kanishtas can fall down. Anyone who, if you come at least on the Majjhima platform, of being completely dedicated to this preaching mission, totally dedicated to saving the fallen souls on behalf of Prabhupada and your spiritual master. If you have that mood, that will protect you. That mood will protect you. Krishna favors those who are in this preaching spirit. That's a fact. He gives special protection to those who have taken up this mood of preaching. Nachatasman manusheshu kashchan may priyakritamaha bhavita chata made mashad anya priyatarobhavi. He says, there is no soul more dear to me than the one who preaches. Nor will there ever be any soul to me in this world more dear to me than he. So this mood of preaching, Krishna consciousness, is actually a very ecstatic mood. It puts one into a state of transcendental bliss. Because the more you give Krishna, the more you get Krishna. If your life is dedicated to giving Krishna the suffering souls on this planet, you see, then Krishna will become your personal property. That's a fact. Prabhupada ordered us, his disciples in Los Angeles, he said, become guru and deliver the whole world. Direct order from Prabhupada. He orders, become guru and deliver the entire world. So Prabhupada wanted us to be in this mood of giving Krishna to others. He ordered us to be in this mood of giving Krishna to the suffering people of this planet. So we have to always think like this. In fact, Prabhupada describes in his Bhagavatam purport what is a Krishna conscious being? What is the mentality of a devotee? He describes it in the Bhagavatam purport. What it means to be a Krishna conscious person. So let me ask you, what is the name of our society? What was that name? The International Society for... What? Krishna Consciousness, that's right. It's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So the members are supposed to be... Krishna conscious. Right? If we're the members of the Society for Krishna Conscious, then we are supposed to be Krishna conscious. I mean, it's common sense. So Prabhupada defines or describes what is the mentality of a person who is Krishna conscious, and that's supposed to be us because we're members of the Society for Krishna Consciousness. He describes what is the mentality of a person who is Krishna conscious. He says in his Bhagavatam purport, he said, a Krishna conscious being is always thinking how to deliver the suffering humanity back to home, back to Godhead. Now, are you always thinking that way? Am I always thinking that way? Or I'm thinking about when is prasadam? Or when can I take a nap? You see? Are we thinking, what can I do to save the world? What can I do to save this planet? Can I go on Harinam? Can I make devotees? Can I distribute books? What can I do to make to save the suffering people of this planet, you see? That's how someone who's actually Krishna conscious, they're always thinking of how they can save the suffering humanity, Prabhupada says them. They're always thinking how I can save the suffering humanity. And then Prabhupada says, and even if they are not successful in doing it, still their perfection is guaranteed, and anybody who follows them will also become perfect. So you can't lose, Prabhus. You can't lose, Matajis. If you'll always think, what can I do to save the people of this planet? What can I do to make this movement successful, you see? If you're always thinking that way, then your perfection is absolutely guaranteed. You've covered yourself. Now you will go back to Godhead, guaranteed. So is there any loss by thinking like this? Say, well, I may get frustrated. If I think about saving the world, I'm not able to. I may get frustrated. No, don't worry about that. Just have the desire to save the world, you see. And that saves you automatically. And anybody who listens from you and learns from you, they will become saved also. So we should all have this mood of wanting to save the world. We should all have this mood. It's our family business. Our family business is to save the world. It's like in Vrindavan, I go to one shop called Ganga Prasad to get my kurtas. They make my kurtas for me. So that's their family business for many generations. They have their picture of their great-grandfather. He started it. It came down generation after generation. You see, the sons take it up. Those sons take it up. It's passed on. It's the cloth business. It's their family business. So as Ganga Prasad and sons have their cloth business, you see, we have our family business in ISKCON. Our family business is to save the world, you see. And that mission is handed down generation after generation. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had that vision to save the world. He passed it to Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, who had that vision to save the world. That was passed on to Prabhupada, who had that vision to save the world. Prabhupada ordered us, his disciples, to save the world. And now we, the disciples, are ordering you all that you must also be in this. You must also deliver the world. This is your duty. You see, your duty is you must deliver the world. That's your duty. So in this way, the duty is passed down generation after generation. This is our mission, this come, to make the whole world Krishna conscious. We want that every single man, woman, and child on the face of this planet will accept Prabhupada's books as the guiding principle of their lives. Every government, every university, every church will read, every synagogue, mosque, later they can remain Christian, Muslim, we don't mind, but let them read Prabhupada's books and see how to become perfect Christians, perfect Muslims, perfect Jews. It's actually happening already. In North Carolina, there's a Baptist minister. Baptist is a denomination of Christianity. He was reading Prabhupada's books. He said, this is better than Christianity. But he's already employed. That's how he earns his living. He's a Baptist minister. So he's not going to quit his job. But he was reading Prabhupada's books, and he used to send me emails on his Sunday sermon that he gives the lecture on Sunday in the church. It was all based on Prabhupada's books, but just in Christian terms. Instead of saying Krishna, he said God. Is he? He was preaching Krishna consciousness to the Christian people and using Christian language. That's with the same philosophy, using Christian language. You see? And then he got initiated also. He became an initiated ISKCON devotee. But the people of the church know him as Reverend so-and-so. I won't give his name in case they hear the recording on the internet. I don't want to blow his cover. I won't mention his name on the, because this will be on the internet. This lecture will be posted on the internet for the whole world to hear. So yeah, so he's Reverend so and so, but to us he's so and so Das Prabhu, you know. So in this way, Prabhupada's teachings the Muslims can follow, and I'm in Turkey, in Istanbul. I went and did a program with a hall full of Muslims. These people were chanting in ecstasy. They'd never heard the Hare Krishna, and they were in ecstasy. The whole hall full of Muslims. I have a video. You should see that video. You should come to where I ashram, my residence in Solferino, and I'll show you the video. It's amazing. Amazing. It's on the internet also. This gentleman here has seen the video. You've seen the video. He's a little sleepy today, but he saw the video. So it's amazing. These Muslims people, they're just completely in ecstasy. A whole hall full of Muslims in ecstasy. They're just going into complete bliss. They're going into, you can see they're actually going into ecstasy, chanting Hare Krishna. I can never forget that night. It was so amazing. Shri Shri Radha Golokananda Ki Jai. I was so intoxicated after leading a whole hall full of Muslims and chanting Hare Krishna in ecstasy. I was so ecstatic. I forgot where I was. Where in the world am I, you know? I was in so much bliss. I'm in Istanbul, Turkey. I forgot where I was. It was so ecstatic. It was so unbelievably ecstatic. I actually forgot where I was for a minute there. I'm in Istanbul, Turkey. So this is the great power of this Krishna consciousness movement, you see. That it can completely revolutionize this entire planet. It can bring peace, happiness, and prosperity in every nation of the world. The industrialized nations, the third world countries, everywhere in the world, everybody, if they will take to Krishna consciousness, the entire world will become peaceful and prosperous and happy. There'll be no more poverty. There'll be no more murders and rapes. No more terrorism, you see. No more calculating. Everything will be loving and compassionate and kind, you see. Even the weather will become very nice. Mother Bhumi will give she's been holding back her bounty because we've become so sinful, you see. But the earth will become very fertile, producing so many wonderful fruits, vegetables, flowers, everywhere. It'll become like a paradise. The whole planet will become like a paradise. We just have to make the world Krishna conscious, that's all. So we have to understand our duty as followers of Prabhupada is to carry forward that mood of Srila Prabhupada, to awaken the whole world to Krishna consciousness. Stop just thinking of your own little comforts. Start thinking of the comfort of everybody on this planet. You see? We should be very much in anxiety. Until the whole world becomes Krishna conscious, we should be in a state of anxiety. Oh my God, it's horrible. These people have to be saved. We should be in constant anxiety. We can't rest easy until the whole world is Krishna conscious. Until every high court judge is wearing tilak, you see. Then we can relax. Okay, now we can take time off and relax a little bit. Now that the whole world is Krishna conscious, all the high court judges are wearing tilak, now we can take it easy, kick back and relax, you see. But until then, we got to get out on Sankirtan. Take the books out there, take the holy names, make devotees, home programs, festivals, beautiful temple worship. We have to do everything we can to revolutionize this planet. Otherwise, we're rascals. We're simply rascals, that's all. Kanishtas, low-class Kanishta Adhikaris. We're not even devotees, hardly. We're just trying to use Prabhupada's movement for our own comforts, you see. We have to think, what is the mission of Prabhupada, and how can we utilize this greatest opportunity in the history of the world to push forward this Sankirtan movement for the benefit of all living entities, you see. We have to see, we're sitting at the most opportune moment in history. The most opportune moment in history. We have the opportunity to live on the cutting edge of the greatest paradigm shift that's ever happened in the history of the universe. We have the greatest opportunity. This is the pivotal moment in world history, and we're living in it right now. If we take advantage of it, you see. Of course, there's three kinds of people, you know. There's three kinds of people. Those people are really together. They make things happen. Those are the true leaders, those people who make things happen, you see. And there's another class, they watch things happen. Well, they watch the first class make the things happen. There's a third class that doesn't even know what's going on. They say, what happened? So you can be, you have your choice, what kind of person you want to be. You want to be in the first, second, and third class. You want to be one of those movers and shakers who makes things happen, you see? That's called preacher. You want to make things happen? You want to watch things happen? Or you want to know what's going on here? You see? This is the most opportune moment in the history of the world. Lord Chaitanya has just come only recently, and the greatest representative of Lord Chaitanya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, has come and started a movement which will go down in history for having saved the entire world. So do you want to let this opportunity pass, or do you want to take it, you see? There's a very nice piece of advice, actually, from... Sometimes even Prabhupada said we can take gold from a filthy place. So there's a piece of advice from a non-devotee. His name was Bill Gates. He was a young kid who dropped out of Harvard University, and he was messing around writing computer code. And he got a contract to write the operating system for the IBM PC. And he realized he had the vision of what he had just gotten. You see. So years later, he gave his piece of wisdom according to his own experience. He said, if you find yourself in the right place at the right time, then take massive action. That's what he did. He became one of the wealthiest men in the world, Microsoft. You see. He's just a young kid in his 20s. What's your age? 20. He's a kid like your age, you know? He's a young kid like your age, 24-year-old kid. Can you imagine? He dropped out of school, messing around writing some computer code, and he became one of the wealthiest billionaires in the history of the planet, you see. Because he saw the opportunity and he took full advantage of it. So we have even a greater opportunity than Bill Gates to have a major, major impact on the history of this planet, you see. His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, God Guru, the spiritual master of the whole universe, that Vaishnava who is fully empowered to deliver all living entities, not only in this universe, but in all the universes. We've had the opportunity to get his foot dust on our heads, you see, in the form of these teachings. So now if we will capitalize on this opportunity, we will take these teachings of Srila Prabhupada and we will push them forward, we will become glorious. We will become glorious. Actually, Prabhupada said that. He said, you're always saying all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Why don't you become glorious? You see? Actually, that glorifies Prabhupada even more. When the disciples, the grand disciples become glorious, the spiritual master becomes even more glorified. Why? Palena parichyate. Because you can judge something by its fruits. So the more that we become glorious by taking up this mood of preaching, by taking up this compassionate mood of delivering the suffering souls of this planet, the more Prabhupada becomes glorified. So that's the best Guru Puja you can do, is dedicate your whole life for saving the world. That is the best Guru Puja you can ever do. Now I'll give my whole life for saving this planet, you see. That is perfect Guru Puja, 24 hours a day. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Let's see, here's one already here, okay. Dear Gurudev, the ninth offense is not to instruct the faithless person but the glories of the holy name. Defeating and preaching to atheists by using Vedic arguments seems to be somewhat contradictory. But someone thinks, well, the ninth offense is to preach to the faithless. That's great, I didn't want to go on Sankirtan anyway, so there's my excuse. I'm not going to preach to the faithless. Oh, wait a minute. Lord Chaitanya, don't think things out of context, Prabhu. Mataji, don't take things out of context. What did Lord Chaitanya say? Jade deka tadikaha Krishna upadesha mara agaya guru hoyutada edesh. Whomever you meet, instruct him in the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, you become guru and deliver the people of this world. So how do you then balance it with the ninth offense? Don't ever take anything out of context. Take everything in context. That is the proper way to approach Prabhupada's teachings. So what does that mean then? You're supposed to preach to everybody, but you're not supposed to preach to the faithless. Well, you have to discriminate where I should preach. You know, that's because it also, the Majjhimadikari is described as that person who avoids the atheist and preaches to the innocent. So then where does defeating the atheist come in? Because Prabhupada also taught us to do that. Actually, we don't attack the atheists. We don't do them. It's the first time. We preach to the innocent. But while we're preaching to the innocent, oftentimes the atheists come forward and challenge us, and then we defeat them. The atheists approach us to defeat us, and then we must defeat them. We are not aggressors that we want to go around defeating people. No, we want to glorify Krishna. But if someone comes and to defeat Krishna, we have to defeat them. That is our duty. The scriptures speak about the soul, mind, intelligence, ego. What about the heart? The heart is a physical organ sitting in the body. Sometimes the heart is used, it also can mean the consciousness. He has a good heart. Is he? Oh, he really has a good heart, a good-hearted person. Does that mean he has a strong, his heart pumps well? No, it means he's a compassionate person. So heart can be used either way. It's a physical organ, or it can mean your state of mind. It can be used either way. The word heart. What is the function of the heart? What is the scriptural reference regarding the heart? I'm seated in the heart of all living entities, and for me comes knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Krishna is seated in the physical heart. Does bhakti come from the heart or the soul? Bhakti comes from Krishna. Krishna is the source of everything. Krishna, and then the seed of bhakti is planted in the heart. Doesn't mean necessarily the physical organ. It means within your consciousness. And it says the seed of the Guru Maharaj plants the seed of bhakti in your heart. It doesn't mean he does some open heart surgery, you know, cuts the little knife open there and puts a little physical seed inside your pumping organ. That's not what it means. It means within your consciousness, he plants the seed of devotion. So you have to understand the context. Heart can be used, it's an English word, it can be used, it has different meanings. It can mean the consciousness or the demeanor, the attitude. It also means the physical organ. You have to understand the context. Okay. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, we see that in the movement different devotees have different inclinations. Some like to preach, some like doing deity service, some like kirtans, etc. Our family business is preaching. How can we engage devotees with different inclinations in preaching at the same time, keep them enthusiastic and happy in their Krishna conscious life? Everybody should get a taste for preaching. Even if I'm a pujari, I'm a cook, Everyone should have the experience of going on Harinam. Everyone should have the experience of distributing books. These are common businesses. Just like in the military, there are many different activities in the military, in the army, you see. Some people are cooks, some people are medics, some people are, they manage the supplies for the uniforms. Some people are the Corps of Engineers. They build the bridges. As the forward march goes on, they build bridges over the rivers as the Corps of Engineers. There's many different types of persons in the military, but they all go through basic training. Even the cooks go through basic training. They learn how to do combat, how to shoot, how to stab with a bayonet, and all that kind of stuff, you see. They all go through basic training. Even the medics go through basic training. So when needed, every member can fight. Every member can shoot a gun and kill an enemy, you see. Every member. Even the chaplains. By the way, we have a Hindu chaplain now in the U.S. Army. A Mataji, who used to go to our temple at Mira Road in Juhu. She immigrated to the U.S. and became a chaplain in the U.S. Army. She uses Bhagavad Gita as it is to preach to the soldiers in the U.S. Army. So anyway, but she also, everyone has to learn, I don't know what they do with the women, that's a new thing, but having women in the military. I think they give them also the training how to shoot. Yeah, the women also learn how to shoot.
She was sent to Iraq.
She was deployed to Iraq, yes. So yeah, I was in a military training program years ago, but the women, there was no women in those days in the army. I was on the army base, and there was only men there, but now they have the women, the so-called women's liberation, you know, let the women get out there and get shot also. They call it women's liberation. And the women, now you can get your brains blown out in the battlefield also, women's liberation. But anyway, the point is that everybody is trained how to fight. So in the same way, in this Krishna conscious movement, everyone should know how to preach. But if you're the pujari and you're at the temple all by yourself doing the puja during the day, and a guest comes, say, well, I'm not a preacher, I can't preach to the guests, I'm just a pujari. Wouldn't that be a disgrace? Everyone has to know how to preach. Everyone should know how to distribute books. Everyone should be skilled in these preaching activities. Everyone should be able to give a class also. So if you ever have an opportunity, you can give a very nice lecture. Every devotee should be able to speak. You see, give lectures. There's a motto in this connection, Indian Railways. Prabhupada uses an example. GBC also comes from Indian Railways. That term came from Indian Railways originally. They had a governing body commission for Indian Railways. But they had a poster in Indian Railways that said, every employee must see that the wheel on the train is turning. Every devotee, every employee must see. So somebody's actually the engineer. He sits in the engine car and makes the thing roll, you know, pulls the throttle, makes the thing go down the track. Somebody who's a clerk in the office, they have to sign a form that authorizes that train to roll down the track. So every devotee in this movement should see that the wheels of the train are turning, that Sankirtan movement is moving forward, you see. If I'm a cook, I should think, let me cook so nicely so the preachers are getting fired up by the prasadam and go out and do more books, you see. I cook nice prasadam so the Harinam party can really get off the ground and jump in ecstasy from this prasadam. They get on Harinam after the breakfast and they're just completely in bliss. Every devotee, whatever the service, I mean, dress the deity so beautifully, the preachers become inspired to make the whole world Krishna conscious. You see? In this way, every devotee should be acting to push forward the movement, whatever their service is, cleaning the toilet even, whatever your service is. How can I do this in such a way this movement will be successful and inundate this entire planet? That's, if you're a householder, how can I raise my family in such a way that they can be in the mood of preaching and making the world Krishna conscious? In this way. Okay. Sometimes we find it difficult to follow the guru's instructions. What is the solution to this problem? You then ask your spiritual master. Just like now, I have one disciple of mine, he's having a hard time. He's written me. He says, Guru Maharaj, I'm having difficulty. Please help me. You see. So you approach your spiritual master if he's present, or you write him and get help. I mean, that's why he's there. He's there to help you. So take advantage of your spiritual master's presence on this planet. He may not always be here. In fact, he will not always be here on this planet. So while he is here, take advantage of his presence and inquire from him. Any other questions? Okay. All right, well, our questions have run out. And that means we can go ahead and stop here. Unless there's anyone questions you'd like to ask verbally. If there's nothing, we can stop here. And we thank you very much for your participation in this movement of Srila Prabhupada, the Hare Krishna movement. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Yeah.